Conscious Living of Power Radio. Hi there, I'm Wendy Garrett. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate your time. Hopefully, whatever is going on with you is a little less intense. That's what's going on with me. Tons of energy and tons of basically chaos up in the air. Things, and it's not a bad thing. It's just things starting, things finishing, and all sorts of, in some ways, uncertainties. But at the same time, a general progression and in my way of seeing it, an upgrade. So what that means to me is that you're able to sense and intuit better. Your abilities to receive and transmit information have improved. And the energy that's happening right now, even though it seems like it's in a tremendous state of upheaval, with all of the earth shifting and the weather intensifying the way that it is, we're seeing dramatic impacts on all sorts of levels with the quality of life, the impact to the environment, and especially in the United States with the hurricane season being extraordinarily intense and very, for a lot of people, destructive. There's so much going on with that that it also impacts everything else. And for me, just going back to that energy part of the equation and the intensification, whenever there are thunderstorms, whenever there is a heightened level of electricity, whatever the maybe cause of that, the source, then you will be likely to have an improved or upgraded sense of connection with some of the other things that are happening. You may notice around you, may not, but pay attention, see if you can. The paranormal activity improves or increases or expands or is a lot more problematic. Electronic energy definitely takes a hit. And just doing that in my own environment, that means the systems will not operate the way you think they will. And you may have more downtime, more delay, more quirks, more kinks in the system all across the board. The other part of that is when we transition, everybody has their own special chart, their timing, their game plan. And it may seem on this end like it isn't, there's no rhyme or reason. But on a higher plane, there is. And watching that recently with my cat, and I've been through this a few times, they all seem to have almost like a script that they're following. And given their own personality, it's, of course, just like people, it's unique. And my cat, Chloe, 14 years old, she had been always very independent. And you can say all cats are, but it's just that thing of she wasn't one who liked to be picked up. She was a dynamo. From the minute I saw her, she's about 6 weeks old or something, came into a rescue, a humane society. And I was in the office with a dog, two dogs. One was a golden retriever and one was a German shepherd. And they were both very, very people-oriented, friendly, gentle. Max, if someone was sick, Max would go right up to them and try and console them. He was a nurturer, and it was amazing. I would be taking him for a walk, and all of a sudden he would approach somebody, and I knew whoever it was needing basically a hug. And Max was that kind of dog, very gentle, even though he was a German shepherd and quite capable of defending me if he needed to. He was a non-aggressive German shepherd. And so much so that, okay, Magic, golden retriever, loved everybody. Okay, Magic had the Prince Charming, and Prince Charming who knew it. So the dynamic there, Chloe comes into my life and she is like a little, a whirling dervish. She comes into the room. I don't know what spurred the entry. If somebody was trying to get me to adopt her, I don't remember at the time how that happened, but she comes just dodging into the room, doing little circles and pirouettes and up and under the chairs and around and under the dogs. And these are, you know, she's a tiny kitten and the dogs are, whoa, you know, what is this? And she's just under them, around their feet, no fear. And so I see this, and she's a calico. Her colors are extraordinary. I've used her for part of my art. She was always so, the colors were so beautiful. And of course, I had to work to enhance them just to make sure they were beautiful. And that was completely unnecessary. And I look at that and I think, why did I even think that I could improve on her beauty and that perfection? So anyway, so I've got these beautiful pictures. Thank you. Thank you very much, Chloe, because that's what is important right now, that remind me of her influence. Now, the other reason I'm going into this is because of the energy and the way that this is all transpiring. It had to do with that energy that she had, that fearless quality. When I took her home, I had two other cats, and they were brother and sister, and gray cats. They were also, you know, I'm very attached to my pets. And so I take them home, take her home along with the German Shepherd. And the two cats, Chloe has decided she is not a cat. She wants nothing to do with cats. So this little tiny muffin goes, and the German Shepherd is on his bed. She goes to the dog bed, in the middle of the dog bed, in the middle of his stomach, and lays down like, I'm with him. Get over it. So if she needed plan B and backup, it was like, okay, you're over there, your cats, I'm with the dog. She drank water out of the dog's bowl. She didn't go for the dog's food, but had her own special way of saying, I'm not with them. And what they did to say, yes, you are, Riley, the female, came over and put her paw right on Chloe's forehead and said, yeah, we're in charge, Alpha, not you. And she, of course, then she didn't care because she's with the dog. So the dynamic there was a very endearing and charming. And that personality of, I don't want to be picked up. You can look at me and that's just great. So she would pose and that was okay. The minute you tried to touch her, it was like, oh no, all bets are off. You are, so she would leave. And when I did try to pick her up, she didn't like her tummy touched. And so that was also part of it. You had to be careful when you picked her up because that was a sensitive spot. And so I could pick up the other cats and hold them and hug them and all that good stuff. But Chloe was never one of those. So at the time we finally take her in because she is going ahead and transitioning, they say her heart has been working. It's the one side is 3/4 the size it should be. So it's been overworking for a long time. And she had fluid, which meant that was also a part of it. And I look back and realize she had been moderating her behavior to protect her energy and her physical self. And just extraordinary in the way that she maintained and she kept her activity level low. She would jump, but it wasn't overly active. And yet she wasn't obese. She just knew how to keep things at a wonderful even keel and demand her own personal space, because I can imagine that that would have been extremely uncomfortable. And really picking her up at one time toward the end, taking her to the specialty clinic and discovering that there was excess fluid in different areas, that would have been why, especially if it had been accumulating, that she was uncomfortable. Her health, other than that, she'd been to the vet numerous times. Nothing ever indicated that she had the kind of issue toward the end that showed up. So she was very good at making her life work. And so in that, I really feel I was being given lessons. The other thing that Chloe did was amplify the energy. And there were a couple times that stand out. One of them has to do with the entities that we see around us. In 2009, I had an incredible shift seeing and hearing and sensing these other energies, entities in our space. It was amplified so much that I could hear at one point telepathically being told to leave and go into one room. Pets all followed. Chloe, the dogs, the other two cats, everybody followed. It's like they all heard the same thing I heard. And then when we got the all clear, we could leave. During the time that we were in that bedroom, I could hear like tennis shoes on a basketball court. something going on in the living room. But I have been told, do not come out, stay there. And so telepathically getting that and then hearing this other noise and thinking, what is going on? I wasn't supposed to know. So I trust that. This is that element that I have learned to coexist with. And so when I saw the cats leave and we had the all clear and the dogs and everybody all of a sudden, okay, it's okay to come out of the room. It's like, you know, they were clued in too. During that time, we saw something that I would have been given the term brownies. They're little teeny tiny and they are dark spots and about the size of a dime. And they move around very fast, like they're flying, at least visually. You know, I couldn't see them and didn't try to take a picture of them. But what I could see looked like a little, like a round color of the dime, gray spot, moving. The deal is Chloe could see them and Chloe chased them. And so I knew it wasn't my imagination because I was able to see what Chloe was seeing to chase. And they would run under the door. They would run behind cabinets, up a wall, around the corner, at the bottom of the stairs, and she would roll upside down and play with them. And I thought, what? I had no, at the time, there was nowhere to go with that information. And maybe there still isn't, but it was real. And Chloe was my indicator that it was more than just something I was seeing. She was engaged with whatever this was. Another time, it was very incredibly to me, over the top. I'm walking from one part of the house to another. I glance into the living room. Chloe's sitting on a chair. When I glance into the living room, she's looking at me. And I'm thinking, like I say, she is my artwork, my muse, my poser, my sitter, whatever. I thought, my gosh, she looks so pretty that she was kind of backlit with the window behind her in the middle up on the chair, maybe 3 or 4 feet off the floor. She's looking at me and I'm thinking, I need to capture because her collar looks so beautiful. It's, you know, green with this little pink heart on it. And that is just, that's a perfect picture. So I'm thinking, I'll go get the camera. And as I'm walking to the other room, thinking about getting the camera, I'm also at that moment, in that moment, remembering Chloe doesn't wear a collar. Okay. So then I turn very quickly to go back. And she's looking at me. And she's in a place on the chair at that point where the memory, the image I had of her, she would have had to have been perched on the very top of the back of the chair. There's no room for her to sit like that. So either she was levitating or there's something going on. I could not, because it happened. It was so outside, so far out of my ability to process, I couldn't register what I was really seeing. And now there's another possibility. It was a screen memory that I was looking at something else. And the only way to normalize it was to allow me to see a visual of the cat with a collar and a heart. The thing I remember clearly about Chloe is her playing in the basement. Every time I put her Garfield collar on, she would go down and leave it in the basement. Was one of those automatic, you know, self-release collars. Well, Chloe didn't have any problem releasing it. And I'm like, it was the cutest little collar. Chloe wanted nothing to do with it. Okay, I got her another one. Nope. So I gave up. Okay, Chloe. She did not want to be collared. She was an independent soul. And that was the way she preferred her status to be known. So with that experience, though, I still haven't reconciled that. I don't know what happened. I do know that it was very real and so incredibly off the chart, knowing that I saw her. And that's why it dawned on me that it wasn't what I was seeing, wasn't what was happening, that something was different because of the very clear knowing that she didn't like collars and she hadn't had a collar at that point for years. So, What I know with Chloe is she had another agenda, and that even though I know her as a cat, the bigger part of Chloe, which we all have, is a soul, is an essence. And so with that, I paid attention to the transitioning and trying to make sure after we'd taken her in and had medications and instructions on how to do this and what was going to happen, even though we had a certain prognosis and a certain time frame, Chloe had her own. And telepathically, of course, it's the way I deal with this with the guides. And I was given a date and I'm like, I don't think so. And because she seemed to me, at some point she was deteriorating and at other times she would rally. And I thought, this isn't, I don't know that she can last that long. And my mom came to visit. And so Chloe rallied and that was necessary. There's people that your pets connect with for certain reasons. And they make sure they connect the dots, dot the I's, cross the T's, make sure they say their goodbyes. So what happened was I was given a day and I knew she was spending her time outdoors and we would always, in the evening time, she wanted to go outdoors and I wasn't big on letting her just roam. So we had an agreement. She would go to the end of the yard or, you know, further out from the yard, in the yard, find a spot and just be there or wander around in that space. And then when it was time to come in, my husband would go out and he would take the flashlight, call her name, and we would escort her back into the house. Every once in a while, she tried to turn the other way. No. As long as she went forward, we did not threaten to pick her up. Threatening to pick her up was not good. And so then she would take a step or two a little faster toward the door. But the deal was she would take two or three steps, sit, wait to be petted and encouraged, then turn around and face forward. But she would sit, turn around, look at you like, okay. So she had us trained to do this routine. And the routine was, it was just, okay, it's time to go get Chloe. And that was her way. Now, if it, you know, pouring down rain, no. Toward the latter stage here, she found a place, a dry places, and she would hang out in the dry space. And because she wanted to be outside, it was warm. The rain was warm. Everything was very lush and green and beautiful. And then the sun would come out and everything would all sparkle. So the very last day she was in the sun, it had rained and everything was just, it was just incredibly vibrant and green and alive. And the energy has been shifting with all these storms rolling through. So that's also part of it. These storms are a big part of this because this is energy amplifying. And that's what the chaos is about. That's what this intense stuff is. That's why people are so over the top in terms of emotional and in some ways out of control or over amped, just not understanding what this is about and why the energy is ramping up. Well, it's part of the planet. It's heating up. This stuff is intensifying. And I deal with it on an intuitive level. So my way of explaining this may be different than somebody who's dealing with it from in some shape or form an empathic level or looking at it from the astrology, how this impacts it. We all have different ways of charting our world and making it in some way makes sense. And after my experiences, these are the ways I look at it and that helps me to navigate it and to trust my cues and to look for the symbols in the environment to help give me an imprint or reflection. So with her, I could tell there was a reason for the timing. And the thing over the weekend was that she had connections to make. And I watched the interaction, the dynamic with my dog, Gracie, going to sit with her and spending time with her. Gracie's 12, Chloe's 14. And Gracie had been Max sat with her for a year, the German Shepherd. She's a part German Shepherd. So the dynamic was a little family dynamic there where it was the alpha leading, taking the reins. And then the next one taking on, the two of them were basically very much like sisters, and Chloe would walk under her and same thing, you know, just that dynamic of they were best friends. So Gracie is spending time with Chloe and they wouldn't let me take a picture. It was that little ESP of, oh, she's going to go get the camera split. It was like private time. Don't mess it up. Wow. Wow. So the dynamic was there and it was theirs. And so as Chloe was declining, what she would do was she would, her normal routine, instead of being on the bed or being beside me, was making her way gradually toward the back door, as in the exit. And so each, you know, as watching this progression of not being inside it in the same way, in the same patterns that she had been for the other several years, she's gradually making her way toward that back door. And the final day, She's at the back porch, looking out, watching the sun, watching the greenery, the birds, the butterflies. It's just, like I said, it's very vibrant, very beautiful end of summer, early fall transition. And so there she is. It's the last warm rain of the season. And I'm thinking, okay, so I'm trying to pay attention to all this because it's a bigger picture going on. And she's said her goodbyes to all of us. And she came up on the bed, really difficult for her to jump, but in a way that let me know that this was one of our patterns. And I knew it was the last time. And that was within 24 hours. And so knowing that this is just happening, it's like watching a clock wind down and getting through that. Then I realized they had told me a day, and it was the Tuesday. We went out to breakfast. I'm thinking, I don't know if I want to go. You know, I'm just keeping watch, watching her breathing, watching her every move, getting her a little bit of milk. It's like, okay, good. And yet knowing not wanting to get in her way, not wanting to prohibit and latch and hold her, because that's also counterproductive. It takes energy to make this jump, this shift, this thing. And when we start whining and pining and attaching, latching on, then it's our issue, not theirs. So she's giving me enough time to acclimate, to adjust, to understand, to work through. And then we come home from breakfast and one of her paws is turned inward, like she's had a mini stroke or she's had something, you know, almost like rigor mortis. It's all cold. All of a sudden, it's like that morning she was walking and then not, and there was no reason for it. And I knew, okay, it was Tuesday. That was the sign. So things happen. And there's a huge storm forecast for the day. And even though, you know, it's partially sunny and cloudy, the warmer, nice day was the day before. And so we're going out in the middle of this storm forecast to see the vet. And Chloe transitions on her own. When they do this, there's a distancing. And she was with the vet. She came back to me and the catheter is in her arm and she's looking at me, but she has already separated. Her eyes aren't the same. There's a distance there. And when I connect with her and tell her I love her, she purrs. She lets me know that one last little thing, she purrs. I'm like, okay, this is never easy. But she lets me know the connection and she acknowledges. And when I look at the weather, as we had dodged areas that we thought, okay, can't go on the highway, can't go here because this is, you know, the rain's really pouring there. We could see it. It was amazing. We could navigate, which is sometimes happens, sometimes it doesn't. There was a tornado that actually touched down, and the visual of this tornado, what it told me was the dynamic of this whirlwind energy, this whirling dervish of a soul, where she entered my life like that little bombshell and that beautiful little ballerina. And she exited with the tornadoes and the wind and the rain and that extraordinary light. So with all that, she gave me another lesson of how to exit gracefully again, but on your own terms, with a flourish. And so with my pictures, I see her. I see the dynamic. I see that energy, that being, that it has nothing to do with being a cat and everything to do with being a soul. I wanted to talk about this because sometimes we can't speak. We can't express ourselves. We can't share how it feels to lose someone very close, whether it's a pet or a person. And it takes a while to come back from that. And the grief is there and we express it in different ways. And this is really, for me, it isn't always easy to talk about. There have been some times when it was 3 or 4 days before I could even approach the topic. But I thought, because of all of the upheaval and all of the transitions that are underway right now, it's really important to address these topics and say, no matter how it looks to us on the surface. No matter what we think about what's happening, what our opinions, our judgments are, there's something else going on behind the scenes. There's something else that makes this all relevant. And there's something that makes it important for us to take a bigger look, a bigger picture, a wider view. What else is happening besides what we're seeing at this very teeny tiny itty bitty, like right outside the window? And with Chloe, what I see is the connection and the insight of that weather dynamic, that she was the tornado. She was the energy that came pirouetting into the room. And she is the energy now, all around me, in the weather, in the air, in the breath. And I will miss the physical, but I know I'm not alone. And those are the things that it's hard to express. It's hard to say, because there are tears and there are moments when no words work. And it's just incredible to be able to know that the animals here are so much more like us than we know. They have so much more value and so much more to teach us. Sometimes all you can do is sit back and say, why? What's really going on here? How can I learn more? We'll be back in a few.
Is a test to find out if you know it all when it comes to children. Time starts now. Name one of the leading killers of U.S. children age 1 to 13. What's the best way to protect children in a car crash? At what age and size should a child start using a booster seat? Where can you find the answers to these questions?
Car crashes are one of the leading killers of U.S. children. Many of those deaths could be prevented by making sure that kids are in the right seat for their age and size. Don't assume you know it all when it comes to car seats for your child. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat and know for sure. That's safercar.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Chris, can you put the video game controller down for a second?
I can talk and play. Oh, I'm totally annihilating this punk kid in Nebraska.
I just feel like you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2!
Well, you know, you still ride your skateboard to work, there's the comic book collection, the race car bed.
Look, I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I picked up a few savings tips at feedthepig.org. I have control over my financial life now, and that feels pretty grown up.
Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. For free ideas and easy tips on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
So, I bet I look like a grown-up to you now.
Well, except for the footy pajamas, I'd have to agree.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are 4 times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side, volunteer to read to children, make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Okay. So I introduced that relationship with Chloe for a reason. And it didn't help that, or it didn't hurt that is very fresh. And just going through all of that with all the emotions and all the stuff that comes along with it. And I have other pets too, but it's just not the same. Each one has a very unique dynamic. And you know that, you know, if you've got a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, an uncle, a grandpa, they're not the same. Okay. Each one is different. Animals are the same way. So with that though, there were some things that came along to give me signs that I was paying attention to in the environment. And the weather was one thing that I really learned. Aha, there's this whole reflection going on with that. And the other thing was I was looking up at the clouds and again, asking for assistance and asking how to manage this better, how not to get in the way, how to be helpful, how to make sure, you know, to get the right meds, to go to the right doctor, to get the right assessment. And I'm looking at all these things. And then a couple of days before, when I'm looking at the sky, I get this. And for me, the horse is a totem. It's a very, very important, and it indicates a certain message. So I look at the sky, and there's this very clear to me design in the clouds. And I posted it on the Wendy's Coffee House site. And to me, it was interesting because I could see it front face view and profile view. And it's a horse's head. Now, doing artwork, one of the things I made in Raku was a dynamic horse's head. And I grew up with horses. And when I was little, till I was about 10, I drew horses. I was bound and determined I was going to have a horse. And my grandmother said, if I drew it, I would get it. Well, she said she drew things and she got them. And I assumed, okay, that's the way it works. And that's what was implied. So I would draw things. So I drew colored, created horses. And when I was 10 and a half or 11, that's when we got the first horse. It just happened. And I didn't tell anybody about it. But part of it is that when this horse, the head, the image appeared, then I knew for me, that is basically the shorthand version, a ticket to ride, but it is freedom. And it meant, yes, indeed, to me, it meant that Chloe would be transitioning. And this is just part of the process, not to get over, self-indulgent in the grief process, to understand that those feelings are natural and normal, and everybody has to deal with them in their own way in their own time. And you can't turn them off. They are natural and they are necessary, because then we also, in some way, shape, or form, transition into a different state of being, because we are integrating that energy, that message, that state of mind, that peace of mind, that knowing that comes with losing, and at the same time, appreciating everything has an end, an exit, a shift. I asked the guides, how can I do this better? What can I do? How can I heal her? Well, you know, short of a miracle, or maybe a miracle. So when I put the questions out, I wait to hear a response. The response was pretty quick. And it may be, if I were a different personality, I would have been insulted and irritated and maybe angry. The response was, you can't heal death. Well, okay, fine. Rather blunt. I said that to a friend and they thought, yeah, that was really blunt. Could you ask them to be kinder? Well, sometimes, you know, for me, I need things just quite that blunt to understand and appreciate. Okay, yeah, there's a process going on right here. It's a necessary process. It's a transition process. Pay attention and you might learn something. I had learned with other pets that each one also, just like us, has a special way of exiting. And I knew at one point in my life, I didn't want to ever leave a pet in a position that they couldn't ask for help, that I wasn't paying attention, that I ignored them, that in some way I missed a cue. And there's always that feeling with this stuff, with these exits, because as I've talked to other people and helped them with theirs, there are, for each of us, reasons for the pet to be part of our life experience, part of our reality. And with Max, when I was with him when he transitioned, that spirit, that beautiful German Shepherd energy, I hugged him and I felt that energy go directly through me. As I hugged him at the end, I said, you have to let me know you're okay. You have to let me go. And I'm holding him and feeling him and feeling the energy. Whoosh. I was like, oh, wow. Every ghost movie you've ever seen where the ghost walks through the person and the person, or the person walks through the ghost and they go, whoa, that was it. It was very real. And I'm like, oh, amazing. That afternoon, he showed up. My mom and I buried Max. And she had two cats at the time. She's at her house a couple of hours away. And the cats come running to the door. They heard a dog bark. She heard the dog bark. They come running to the back door. They went in. While they're in the house, 30 seconds later, that dog bark is at her bedroom door. Max had checked in. For 2 weeks, Max had been with Gracie. For 2 weeks, there was a dog barking at my back door. That's how Max asked in. And I thought he had taught it to Gracie. Then I realized Gracie doesn't bark to ask in. She scratches the door. That's the way she does it. That's her method. But for 2 weeks, he barked to let me know he was keeping an eye on Gracie and he was okay. Gosh, to me, these are miracles. These are miracles that we don't understand and that we don't always acknowledge. But the message is so powerful. And they give it to us in ways that we can appreciate. Baby steps. Because it's really, 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 really difficult to lose a human companion. And it's difficult to lose a pet. But somehow, because we know pets don't live as long, we can accept that. When you think and expect a human being to live longer, and they don't, it's hard to take that. Somehow we don't expect that. It's harder to reconcile. But with pets, we know our time is limited and the clock is ticking. Now it's just the same with a person. That just doesn't factor in. So with that, Max came back and let me know. Now I had some others who did the same thing ways and that were just as hard for me to recover from. It's a shift. It's a change. It's a dynamic. It's an incredible influence on your life that sometimes you take for granted because it's so subtle and every day it's present. Every day, that little influence is there, influencing your direction, your plans for the day. The other one, because these are so fleeting, and in the moment though when they happen, they're very, very intense because of the dynamic of the connection. Huey was, again, 12 years old. And he was one who was more of a soulmate, getting me through and onto the path, working with metaphysics and understanding the connection we have beyond the physical. The ghosts frightened the heck out of him. When I left on vacation at one point and leaving him alone, I came back and found this little pile of white hair in the corner on the second, there was a landing between the first and second floors. And we lived in a house that at that time didn't realize it had extra company. And realized at that point that he had been traumatized by what he was seeing. And that little pile of hair was where he spent most of his time, even though I had somebody coming over to check on him and feed him. That was the safest place for him. But when he left, and again, he had assistance. It was a planned. When we found out he only had one kidney, and they said, this is impossible. He should not have lived this long with one kidney. But he did it for me. He did it for him. He did it because it was his way. And he made sure that he said his goodbyes to all of his important people. And I won't go into all the personal stuff with this, but these are the ways we make our connections with animals. And so animal communicators know what I'm talking about. There's another element in being. You don't have to be stuck in your body. If you expand your horizons, your awareness, your intuition, your empathic ability, you can sense the animals in your environment, whether it's a mouse, a squirrel, a fly, a horse, an elephant, a fish, a turtle. They talk to you. And then they connect you to the fairy realm. Yeah. Chloe and the brownies. Chloe and the whatever it was that made her think, or made me think, that she was wearing a green collar with a pink heart. I will always have that image. And in the back of my mind, there's another sense, thinking it was a screen image, that whatever it was about that size, and that the face behind that screen image is smiling at me, wondering if I'm making the connection, how long it will get me, and how long it will take me to go back and connect the dots. But that's what I do. I sit with it for a while, and I wonder, what are we really doing here? What are we really learning? How does that fit with a bigger picture? It isn't what anybody thinks. It isn't about making a name. It isn't about success. It isn't about failure. It isn't about the external icons of role models of how the world works. It's about presence. It's about being here now. Because the more present you are in this moment, the more grounded you are in this being, the more you bring that spiritual element into the equation, and the more you are fearless in bringing that element of you into the present, that doesn't have to live up to anybody else's expectations and can look and see the fairies that nobody else can see. That's real. And it's waiting for the mentality and the maturity that says, there's a whole lot going on here, and I am not afraid to see it. Bigger, I'm not afraid to say it. That is the key. Now, you don't have to say it to 500 million people, but you can say it to yourself. That's a start. You can say it out loud. And you matter. It doesn't matter what the opinions are, because most of the time, those opinions are your feedback. Are you okay with yourself? You'll hear somebody who says, oh, wow, you rock. Are you confused? Wow, troubled, huh? Wow, are you sure? Challenged. I won't use the words. Suffice it to say, it's a kick, okay? Those are your reflections. Those are you calling yourself to attention. And you're going to have challenges. That's the whole point. We have challenges. We have things that make us feel good and things that make us feel bad, things that make us feel like we've failed or we've succeeded. and none of it matters. Because the way of this being is to understand there is a reason, there is timing, there is an elegant equation running under all of this that gives us the right place, the right person, the right thing, the right song, the right word, the right note, the right sky to say, pay attention. Are you connecting your dots? Are you connecting your dots? Here's a horse head in the sky. Does it have meaning? Not to anyone else but me. And yet in the time that I see it, it is necessary. It is helpful. It is important for me to connect the dots. Freedom. Elevation. A ticket to ride. Transition. Accompaniment. Chloe had friends to come pick her up. When I asked who they were, I thought it would be Rowdy, the cat that she was with, who had left, walking out the door. His body, he was walking out the door, and he told me to leave. He told me, you're making this too hard. You have to leave, because I was hugging him, and I was trying to make every minute count. I was trying to keep connection. I was trying to help breathe life into his last days. And he kept walking. He was like a little Buddha. Everything was all taken care of. He didn't stress. He ate. He drank. Everything looked normal up to the last minute, and he rallied. No medicine. No major illness. Just time to go. And so I left. I went to the bookstore. Stayed longer than I wanted to, because I was supposed to stay out of the way, and he had told me, you're making this too hard. So when I came home and found him on his way out the door, walking in that position, I picked him up and said, please, 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 just give me one more breath. Let me know it's okay. And then the guide said, that's why you needed to leave. He couldn't leave with you pining. I wrote about that in the book, Talking to Nightlights, with Huey, and them telling me, you have to quit making those phone calls. He has other things to do. He can't keep answering the phone. That's what you're doing when you're doing that. You're saying, oh, hey, are you okay? And he's going, I'm fishing. Okay, so there it was. That moment of knowing. The part of this that we're doing is important. And it's growth on every level. No matter what time you check out. No matter when you check in. It's growth. It's learning. It's expansion. It's consciousness evolving on multiple planes, dimensions, levels. Consciousness. It just looks different. And that's what we are. We're evolving. And I'm so glad that you're allowing me to share this with you, because it is very private. And I can do it because I'm not talking to 500,000 people. I'm just talking to you. Somehow that makes it easier. Because when we lose beings, companions, others that we love, there isn't always somebody to talk to. There isn't always an appropriate way to share it or to say, this is what I learned. This is what I came to know. And this is why I loved so much, knowing it wasn't going to end in the way that I hoped. But it didn't end for me the way that I wanted. It ended for Chloe the way she wanted. So she could give me an image, an impression, a jump, a boost, a rainbow. When I asked what she was doing, because I was going to write a post and write something just to say goodbye and say that she was here and put a picture up. They said, it's okay, she's dancing on a star. I thought, well, that's an upgrade from telling me you can't heal death. We can't stop life in progress, because it all has to do with us getting beyond this thing of us being stuck in the physical form, of this being the only way to be. And if you have a near-death experience, if you had an out-of-body experience, you know what I'm talking about. You know this isn't it. But this is a perk. This is a really cool place to check things out and practice. Practice going back and forth. Practice elevating. Practice being little, being big, being old, being tall, small, round, straight, thin, worried, fearless. We practice all those things. And sometimes we get to share it. In some way, shape, or form, no matter if I share this or not, it goes out. It's energy. It's the ocean. It's one little droplet in the ocean. And somewhere it falls into a puddle, a pond, a pool of more ocean. And I'm trying to do the best I can with my little puddle, my little pool, my little droplet. And then follow it to the next form. So with Chloe and her horse, or my horse, I know she isn't gone. I know she's here somewhere, reminding me to think up, reminding me to pay attention to more than just the thing that's happening in the front of me, like looking at the clouds and seeing that horse's head and paying attention to the weather and knowing there was something else going on. Because when I saw that the tornado had touched down and that the energy was all incredibly intense and enlivened and dynamic, when I saw that, I knew, wow, she timed it. She timed it. The only reason I knew that is because she gave me the clue when they said Tuesday and her paw was hurt in a weird form. It didn't make sense because then I had no choice. I wasn't going to let her suffer. I couldn't fix it. I couldn't make it go away. It was her body shutting down. It was her body saying, hey, I've been thoroughly used. Hey, upgrade. Hey. And so when I knew that energy was there, basically for her to catch a ride, for her to go up, to go on, to go out, to go beyond, I was like, wow, this thing that happens behind the scenes is absolutely extraordinary. And it happens while we think we're playing checkers or backgammon or dominoes or gambling. This other stuff's happening all around us. Exits, births, transitions, ascension. And Chloe's part of that. Every animal you know is part of that. Look at them and see how they're evolving too. See how they're making connections. See how they're telepathic, how they're connecting to you, how they're asking you to open your eyes and take a leap of faith. They can hear you. They're helping, and you'll get it right, no matter what it looks on the outside. You'll get it right, because they always do. They always do. They're not here for our judgment. They're not here for us to teach. We're here to learn from them. Because they don't have to worry about thinking, overthinking, doing all that stuff that we do that makes us consider ourselves intelligent while we destroy the one thing we've got going for us, our planet. Intelligence doesn't do that. But there's hope. Because they haven't given up on us. They shift form and change form and come back and say, okay, take two. So my other pets are with me, but my beauty, my angel, my ballerina, my Princess Chloe, she's taken a new form. And so I will see her in the stars, in the plants, in the fairies, and the brownies that she introduced me to. Because they're the ones who take care of those extra tomatoes that appeared from nowhere in my yard before the birds were able to get the seeds, because they appeared about the same time I planted the tomatoes. There had been no tomatoes planted there. And I don't have a neighborhood gardener who's going around doing good deeds. That would be nice. But there's more to that. More to the environment, to the world, to spirit. And that's why we're here. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your time. I love my Chloe, and I'm so glad that I was able to talk this out, because I wasn't sure. See ya.